On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First and goal. The young guy gets it and walks in. Touchdown, Chicago.
This sixth-round pick, Manungai, has added a lot to this offense. Here it is again, a simple little open up to the left, counter play, nobody there, nobody really wants to make contact at that point. When they know he's coming with that full head of steam, no way they're going to stop him there at the half-yard line. Impressive drive by the Bears.
Little play action, pressure coming. McCarthy steps up, throws, and it's intercepted by Byard. Kevin Byard with some room. The fifth interception, the league leader for Kevin Byard. McCarthy going deep for it all. Enzo intercepted. Nashawn Wright, who had a pick six against McCarthy in week one, with a terrific pick.
Well, he went for it all in one play. And from up here, it looked like a decent throw. But the length and the size of Nashawn Wright going up over Addison just covers them up so easily. What a high point.
Wow.
You don't see that from defensive backs much. Going up over the top and making those plays. McCarthy wasn't expecting it. Frustrating to move all the way down into scoring range and then giving it up.
It's a field goal drive from 54 yards out from Santos. And this kick is up and it is good. So Santos good from 54. That's his season long. Bears extend, make it a 10-point lead, 13-3. Blitz coming. McCarthy sees it, throws, calls for a first down. Addison hangs on, and the Vikings stay alive.
Yeah, just nothing special. Just drives off, man coverage, and McCloud not tight enough on the coverage there at the sticks.
Here's McCarthy. Looking, firing, end zone. Here's Devin Duvernay. Looks for a block. Oh, big room! Duvernay, look at this! Across the 50, and a huge return for Devin Duvernay! The all-pro returner delivers in the clutch moment. 57-yard return.
Catches the ball all the way on the left side of the field. Nothing slows him down. They get walled, and the safety gets kind of kicked out. Wilson does a great job pursuing him, but Duvernay, as he's done for so long, finds the space, never stutters his feet, and then the kicking game, frustrating when you're on the opposite side of it, as you saw for KOC. Huge, huge play.
The Bears are basically 5 yards away from a field goal kick. Cairo Santos' season long is from 54 yards, which he hit today. How about these Bears? Trying to win the third consecutive game with a last-minute comeback win. Now it's on the foot of Cairo Santos to win it or lose it. Santos puts it up, and it is good! The comeback kid, Chicago Bears, do it again!
And now it's time for Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, there was never a doubt, right? Have we arrived there where you no longer doubt the Bears in the final minutes as they win another one and improve to 7-3 on the season? I want to say goodnight, but it's actually good morning, everybody. Yes, just past midnight, we are live on 670 The Score as we cover your first place Bears. All alone, by the way, the Detroit Lions get out of the way as they lose to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. The Bears, not only do they get a divisional win, on the road, but they improve to 7-3. The Bears have won 7 of their last 8, and they are in first place. We are here to celebrate it. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And the phone lines, they are open for the next 5 hours, probably for the rest of the day at some point throughout the shows on 670 The Score. We want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. It will be only my voice as a host tonight, which means, or this morning I should say, which means if you call, we will get you on. 312-644-6767. That is also the text line as well, so we'll keep an eye on the text throughout the morning. If you want to just talk Bears, we're here for that. If you'd like me to set the table a little bit and give us a direction, we can do that as well. Here's what I'd like to ask you. I don't know how many of you out there saw the Bears through 10 games having 7 wins and being in first place at the NFC North. Maybe you did. I guess it maybe probably less than half, maybe 25% of you may have been there, but the rest of you, how have you had to recalibrate your expectations for this Bears team? And maybe you haven't. But if you had to recalibrate them, do you now look at them as a team that should make the playoffs? Do you now look at them as a team that should win a game in the playoffs? Or perhaps you look more at the teams they've beaten, the record, and you may not be a big believer at how far this team can go. How have you recalibrated your expectations of the 2025 Chicago Bears, who get a win 19-17, the final against Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota? Caleb Williams and the Bears team that he has led. Previously, he was 0-3 against the Vikings, so he gets his first win on a Sunday. And what a game it was. It was actually, it was a very odd game. Let me give you one of the oddities that I was looking at just in this box score. Durham Smythe, who I'm sure at some point throughout the next 5 hours I will call Graham. I don't know who Graham Smythe is. I've just decided that the name should be Graham. But Durham Smythe had as many targets as DJ Moore did yesterday. You know, the highest paid offensive player on this Bears team. Yeah, DJ Moore had 3 targets. He had 1 reception, 18 yards. We remember that terrible drop he had. Durham Smythe also had 3 targets. He had 1 reception for 8 yards. The Bears only scored 19 points. They had the ball for 37 minutes in this game. And oh, by the way, Tyson Bagent was on the field for a decoy twice. Like, it was a bizarre game. But also, I'd like to begin with a 30,000-foot view of this thing. Because Ben Johnson, we could very easily do the next 5 hours of how impressive it is what Ben Johnson has done immediately when taking over this Bears team. He was not only asked to be the guy who fixed it as an offensive mind, the offensive guru, but also to be a head coach. And he is a first-time head coach. But to watch him change from top to bottom, you know, he's done this really impressive thing where we saw it in training camp and Ben Johnson arrived and there was a lot of tough love. And then we get to the post game and we get to go inside the locker room. We'll hear that in just a minute because I think it's so great. And then you hear the good, better, best, and you watch the team come together and you watch them embrace each other. There's been this great balance of tough love and camaraderie and a culture that he's built. And then you look at the staff that he's brought in as well, from Al Harris to Anton Randall-El to Eric Bieniemy, of course, to Dennis Allen, a well-thought-of, a well-accomplished defensive coordinator. And you look at Ben Johnson, the head coach. The head coach had a better Sunday yesterday than the play caller did. But he's the same guy and has accomplished some incredible things to see the Bears arrive at 7-3. So let's do what we've done. This is my third Bears overnight, if you will. I'm 3-0. And what does that mean? It means absolutely nothing. It means I'm fortunate enough to cover three wins. And we've done this. We'll do it now the third consecutive time. We will begin this show with diving into that locker room, Ben Johnson giving out game balls and celebrating another victory with his team.
Hell yeah!
Man, here's what I'll tell you is 7-3, mm-hmm. All right? First division win, all right? And, man, how similar was that to the first game we played against those guys? Okay? Where you get the lead, and then it gets a little bit sideways in there, and we learn from that, and it took all three phases there at the end, mm-hmm. all three phases at the end for us to win, all right? Man, we have got so much to tighten up. I can't wait to watch this tape with you guys, but it's going to be after a victory Monday.
Yes, sir!
All right, I get three game balls here. Three game balls. Number one is this, man. We don't get that field goal if not for Duvernay.
Man, all that mattered was getting that next one, and I was just, you know, happy I could help you guys out.
Yes, sir.
And now all that matters is the next one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good, man. You talked about clutch when we needed it most, man. Mm-hmm. Let me get a little Cairo action.
Man, I love where our team is at right now, man. Like, it's not always pretty. I made a mistake, and I don't want to put our team in that situation again. But we all trust each other and have faith that we're all going to come clutch at the end. Duve, Caleb, everybody that put us in that situation. Scott, Tori, HT, hype me up there.
All right, man. Last one here, man, is this special man. And a lot of you guys don't see what he does behind the scenes, but he worked here for a number of years, okay? Ooh. It's his birthday tomorrow, and I know this one meant just a little bit more to him. Kevin Warren, what do you win?
When you get my age, and the longer you live, you recognize two words, trust God.
Yes, sir. Trust God. Bring it on in, bring it on in, bring it on in.
Talk heavy. Talk heavy.
Good, better, best.
Good, better, best.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
Good, get better.
Good, get better.
You better get better.
You better get better.
Bears on three, 1, 2, 3, Bears.
All right, well, Ben Johnson has done now 7 of those, and for me, really, they never get old listening to him give out the game balls and just watching a team grow their identity, grow their culture. Interesting to see Kevin Warren get a game ball. Of course, you know, oftentimes players are recognized when they go back to a team that they play for, right? Sometimes they'll have a different captain each game, and oftentimes it's a player that played for that team, and whether it's redemption or otherwise, and so Kevin Warren was going back to his old team before being Big Ten commissioner, of course, when he was president of the Minnesota Vikings and helped get that beautiful stadium built in Minnesota that looks like it would fit perfectly in Arlington Heights. And there's really two things happening for Kevin Warren. One is the stadium, and that has not moved along as quickly as many of us would have liked, especially with the talk for years now of shovel hitting the ground in 2025. Well, we are running out of time on November 17th in 2025. But the other thing Kevin Warren did a little bit was supposed to oversee, in some capacity, the football operations. And by way of overseeing, that's who do you hire? I know his hiring may count more for Ryan Poles, but that's very much a Kevin Warren thing as well. How much Kevin Warren had to do with paying Ben Johnson the big money. I know Ben Johnson, in his first interview, said he wanted to be the head coach of the Bears in the beginning and the closing of his very first interview. They also had to show up and pay him big money to be one of the most sought after, if not the most sought after, head coach this offseason. Kevin Warren was an overseer of that. So the football side is having much more success as of now than getting a stadium built. But the Bears are 7-3, and Ben Johnson recognized the president of the Bears giving him a game ball, Kevin Warren, after the game. 312-644-6767. Yes, we are live at 12:13 a.m. November 17th, 2025. The Bears are in first place at 7-3 all alone after the Eagles beat the Lions on Sunday Night Football, and we are here to discuss. So not only is Ben Johnson getting it done in the win-loss record as a first-time head coach, this was not a masterful game by any means. I think he's going to go back and look at the way that they certainly tried to run the ball, and they did run the ball. And the Vikings have not been great against the run this year. The Bears ran it 39 times, 140 yards. Their yards per carry average certainly down from what we've seen post-bye week, but 3.6 yards per carry average, not good, but they were able to run it towards the end, take time off the clock, and somewhat ice the game, albeit thanks to a Devin Duvernay long return, the 56-yard return, where Caleb Williams didn't have to put on the Superman cape, and they were able to just run it, try to get in a better position for Cairo Santos to kick the game-winning field goal, and they get it done there. But again, the 30,000-foot view of what Ben Johnson has done, 2024, looking at what happened offensively, the Bears were 28th in points per game, they were 32nd in yards per game, and they were 25th in rushing yards per game. As of right now, the Bears and Ben Johnson, since he's taken over, they are 4th in the NFL in points per game, they are 4th in the NFL in yards per game, and they are 2nd in the NFL in rushing yards per game. Your head coach, he's got the win-loss record in first place, and what he came here to do offensively, still a long ways to go with Caleb Williams. I recognize that, and we'll get to number 18, a.k.a. Iceman, and that nickname. We'll get to him in just a little bit. But if you look at the numbers and what they've been able to do in 10 games, it's pretty impressive. For comparison's sake, Lovie Smith, head coach of the Bears from 2004 to 2012, his best season. Now, we know 2006, the best season. Yards per game, the best Lovie ever had offensively for the Bears from 2004 to 2012 was 15th. 15th was the highest over Lovie Smith in a season. And Ben Johnson right now is 4th in the NFL. Check that. Yeah, 4th in the NFL of yards per game. From 2004 to 2012, the best the team did was 15th. Ben Johnson, through 10 games, already has him at 4th most yards per game in the NFL. It's pretty impressive. You know who else was pretty impressive as a Chicago Bear? Olin Krutz. Olin in our post-game show, 7-3. That's all that really matters.
Olin, you called it again. I mean, what the hell is going on?
No. Listen, the Chicago Bears, I think Duvernay stole Caleb's thunder, man. Caleb's the finisher, not Duvernay, a Coach Hightower. I've talked about him. Awesome, Pat. Like, you know, for a special teams unit to get a return like that in a critical point in a game like that. And these Chicago Bears guys finding ways to win, all kind of ways to win football games. And at the end of the game, the defense that had been so good for so long throughout this game, really stifling the Vikings offense and J.J. McCarthy, gives up that touchdown. And you're thinking, well, Caleb's got another chance to put this away. And then Duvernay just takes off, man, and puts them basically in field goal range. And they get a good last run. But listen, Pat, you just said it. Win football games. Win football games. Mully said it. You're 7-3 here in November, and you're just winning football games. And you look like a team. And obviously there's a lot to talk about in how the offense looked and certain situations and not getting points off of takeaways. But they're winning football games, and that's really, at the end of the day, all that matters.
You know, this has been very much of a yeah-but team, right? And I've done it. If you look at the teams as of now, they do not have a win against a team with a winning record. And they're going to get a chance to do that against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, and a good chance it could be Mason Rudolph instead of Aaron Rodgers. We could talk more about that as Aaron Rodgers was injured on Sunday, and the Bears may be catching another break, right? They did not have to face Joe Burrow, and we know that they had Tyler Huntley when they went up against the Baltimore Ravens, and they could get in, although they lost that game, I know, but they could get a break again against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. But as many yeah buts as we've discussed with this team, with the way that they've won or the red zone struggles, at some point, you got to just say, they're a good football team. And I think 10 games into a season at 7-3, for a league overall that does not have an incredible amount of dominant teams, I mean, there are far more average or less than average football teams than there are impressive teams as of now in the NFL, that you just have to say, yes, they are growing. Yes, they have a long way to go, but they are a good football team. And with all the shortcomings that they have, they have been able to figure it out. And I still say that from a talent standpoint, the coaching staff as of now is more talented than the roster that they have. So how do you win these games the way that they've been doing it with how injured they are, especially on the defensive side of the ball? Arguably without their best three defensive players that they could get back at some point throughout the season with no Jalen Johnson, no Kyler Gordon, and no TJ Edwards. That's great coaching, and that's players that have bought in. They are still looking very much for, though, that killer instinct. Here's Patrick Manley in the postgame show.
In reality, though, guys, this game shouldn't have come down to this. You know what I mean? We'll, I'm sure we'll break it down. There's points of emphasis. J.J. McCarthy had a terrible day. You can't just kick field goals all day and only have one touchdown. You've got to convert those into points. That's why Ben Johnson's here. Still too many drops. Still two illegal procedures. So is my coaching or critical eye, I want more out of this. I'm going to celebrate the win. I'm enjoying the win. My blood pressure still pumped up. I'm still pumped up. But there's things when they go in tomorrow, and then we'll talk about here as well, like I said again, that they need to be better at. This is a game they should have walked away with. They should have walked away with a 10-point-plus win. They were up early that way. They should have capitalized on it with the way J.J. McCarthy was playing. But they got the win at the end, and there is still room for improvement. And they are 7-3.
You know, this is not the season where I would expect Ben Johnson to peak as a head coach. I think the question is, how good or great could Ben Johnson's tenure be with the Bears? But from a peaking standpoint, you'd like to think that he's years away. Why years? Because you'd like to think that he's going to get the absolute very best out of Caleb Williams, and that will take time. And we'll talk about Caleb Williams coming up on the other side. But imagine how nice it is for Ben Johnson and his coaching staff to be able to teach through wins and continue to dangle that carrot, whether it's to remain in first place or, you know, find themselves in that flex game against the Lions, the very last game of the season, where the football world wants to see this NFC North battle between you two. But what's most important of all of this is that the Bears have a chance. I shouldn't even say a chance. They've arrived in it to play meaningful games down the stretch, right? Why do we love the NFL so much? Because it feels like even by week three, you are playing for the playoffs, which creates a very, very important atmosphere immediately. But as this team grows and plays more meaningful games, not only in December, but potentially playoffs and otherwise, this is how you grow an organization, right? This is how you set expectations, because that's what Ben Johnson is doing, right? If you watched him at the podium today or yesterday, that was a head coach that was happy to have won, but ultimately was pretty pissed with the way that things went, because that was not up to his standard. And we'll talk about Caleb Williams coming up in just a little bit, but if you watched his post-game press conference, he seemed kind of pissed because that game was not up to his standard. But he is coaching through victories. He is coaching through wins. And that allows them to continue to reach and play meaningful games. And that is experience. Because how many Bears teams in recent years have had a chance to get real experience of either playoff games or playoff atmosphere? Ben Johnson has been able to create that in year number one. Talking about former Bears, this guy, Kyle Long on CBS Sports, he likes him some Bears.
I think sky is the limit for this football team. And, you know, mostly people that disagree with me on the topic of the Chicago Bears say they haven't beat anybody. Well, I would invite them to take a look around the National Football League and identify some of the teams that you think are shoe-ins to win every week. And I can circle two or three games on their schedules where I said, well, they should have beat them. What happened to the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins? What happened to the Green Bay Packers against Cleveland Browns? What almost happened to the Green Bay Packers every damn week, it seems like, Adam? All I'm saying is, any given Sunday, and this Bears team finds a way to be in there any given day with an opportunity to win.
Good stuff from Kyle Long. And again, any given Sunday, listen, we can get to the struggles of this game. Their red zone percentage, the success in the red zone for the Bears, that's how you'll lose meaningful games. When you are trading field goals for touchdowns like they did yesterday, that is how you find yourself losing in late comebacks, oftentimes, because you are trading field goals for touchdowns, right? Like, that will have to get better. There's a lot of areas, we know. But around the league, you can point at teams and go, well, what was happening there, right? Like, I know the Packers won yesterday, but I watched the Packers lose to the Carolina Panthers a couple of weeks ago. There is not just this gauntlet of teams where it does feel like any given Sunday, as Kyle Long just said. 312-644-6767. The text line is open. This is from the 312. Maybe Ryan Poles was right. We're going to take the North and never give it back. I don't know about Ryan Poles, but I feel a lot better about the head coach that he hired in Ben Johnson. The question we're asking you this morning, how have you recalibrated your expectations about this Chicago Bears team? Maybe you haven't, but have you recalibrated where you say, this is a team that should either be in the playoffs or should be winning a playoff game? Do you have that kind of confidence? I also want to ask you about your quarterback. How many of you out there are convinced that he is your franchise quarterback moving forward? And if not, what do you need to see? I saw something different in number 18 on Sunday. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. We are covering your first place Bears all morning long. I'm Judson Richards. Great to be with you. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You have to have a killer instinct to be in these games and finish these games the way we have. To fight all the way through and come out victorious. You have to have a sense of killer instinct. But for the idea of Killer Instinct speaking on when there's blood in the water, you know, we got to go and, you know, and the defense turns the ball over for us and we get the ball back. We got to put up 7 points. When they get three and outs, we got to put up 7 points. And that's a mindset and belief that we have to grow towards and get better at. And that's something that I was preaching on the sideline. And, you know, I'm going to keep preaching that because we have so much talent. We have so much belief. We have so much of a great coaching staff and, you know, all these different things. And there's not a time for me that I want to maximize the most than when I'm out here with these guys. And so having the killer instinct in those moments is really important to me and for us as a team because, we, like I said, we got the coaching staff, we got the players, we got the talent. We just have to go out there and do it.
Well, I can tell you when it was time to kill them. It was middle third quarter, and J.J. McCarthy was getting booed loudly. And it the vibes were so bad on that sideline, right? Justin Jefferson looked like he wanted to throw his helmet into the second deck, into the upper deck. And it was like, if they could get any score here, if they get anything going, this team is about done because they looked like they didn't have any confidence in J.J. McCarthy, and J.J. looked like he didn't have any confidence in himself. But if you cannot convert in the red zone, then if the other team gets seven, then their one score makes up for your two scores, even if you're moving the ball up and down the field. You know, the Bears had the ball for 37 minutes. So the killer instinct, yeah, you felt it, right? You felt when they needed to do it, and you felt that since they didn't, it could very easily become a game. But the Cardiac Bears pulled out yet again. The Bears win 19-17. Judson Richards with you on 6-7 The Score, with you all the way until 5 a.m. when we hand it over to Mully and Haw. The Bears are 7-3. If you missed it, you probably didn't if you're listening to The Score right now. The Lions lost on Sunday Night Football to the Philadelphia Eagles, so the Bears at 7-3. They are all alone on November 17th in the NFC North. How about that? We will get to Caleb Williams in just a moment. Phone lines are open as well, 312-644-6767. How confident are you out there that you have your franchise quarterback? And Caleb, also, have you had to reset your expectations for this Bears team with them in first place at 7-3? Ryan is in Oak Forest hitting leadoff with us on a Monday morning. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, guys. You know, being in first place in the NFC North is a feeling we're not used to, and we really shouldn't forget where we came from. But I'm going to act like we're used to it and forget where we came from. It's a sophisticated feeling, so I want to ask some sophisticated questions that first place teams ask, like, are we going to make it past the second round? How many of our guys will get Pro Bowl votes? Is our quarterback an all-pro discussion? Dare I say MVP? I mean, he's one of the scariest dual-threat QBs in the league. I wouldn't want to go up against him, would you?
Well, Ryan, let's before we get ahead of ourselves with the MVP, I'll ask you, since we're talking sophisticatedly here, if that's a word, how far do you think they can go in the playoffs? Like, are you convinced that this is going to be a double-digit win team that is ready to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't see why not. You know, I don't really see too many weaknesses aside from, you know, the glaring, like, cornerback spots, but, like, our guys are coming back. And I know people might say that our schedule was easy, but, I mean, look at the Packers' schedule. They've been on cupcakes, and then people are saying that they can make it to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm really not seeing too much of a difference between us and them, and I'm actually really excited for the game two or three weeks from now against them, too.
Brian, thanks for the phone call. The schedule does get more difficult right now. Again, Aaron Rodgers, he broke a bone in his left hand. Grant, do I have that right? His non-throwing hand.
It's his left wrist.
He broke his left wrist.
Yeah, okay. There's a crack, or there's a small break in his left wrist is what the x-rays show. I think he's going to get scheduled for MRI later on today on Monday.
Okay, so we'll have MRI. They'll dig deeper into the wrist. Today, but it sounds like there's a very good chance that Mason Rudolph could be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at Soldier Field. So that would be, pun intended, a break for the Bears, albeit it is a .500 opponent. The Bears do not have a victory against an opponent that has an above 500 record. They don't have a win against a team that I believe is at 500 off the top of my head. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are at 500. I can promise you this, though. They do not. You got that one for me, Grant? The Cowboys as of right now?
No, I think Cowboys are not at 500. I'll double check. But the losses, they would have, if they would have beaten Detroit, if they would have beaten Baltimore, because now Baltimore is a 500 team after they beat the Browns yesterday. Those two losses would have been, if those wouldn't have been victories, that would have been the teams that are above 500, they would have won.
Right. And the Dallas Cowboys are 3-5-1. So the games that they played, the wins that they have against opponents that are under 500, well, they're about to play a number of teams that are over 500, including the Philadelphia Eagles, who just took care of the Green Bay Packers 2 weeks ago and then took care against the Detroit Lions last night in a win. But they've got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up next weekend. Then they've got that Black Friday game on Prime against the Philadelphia Eagles. Then they've got Green Bay twice in 3 weeks, right? They're at Green Bay on December 7th. Then they've got Cleveland December 14th. Then they face Green Bay again December 20th. Then the 49ers. That'll be in San Francisco, a.k.a. Santa Clara, because it's not in San Francisco. And then they've got the Detroit Lions for the last game of the season. But I will also say this. When Ben Johnson says they're going to play their best football in December, I believe him. Like when Ben Johnson tells you, hey, we have to improve our run game and we're going to take a serious look at that the bye week, that's exactly what they did. And then currently their run game is the second best in the NFL. So when Ben Johnson says we're going to be playing our best football in December, I believe him. I also think that they at some point will get their three best, arguably defensive players back on the field for these crucial games. In TJ Edwards, Kyler Gordon, and Jalen Johnson. So, yes, I recognize that they have not beaten a team that is over 500. They've had a hand in that, by the way, by handing them losses. And it's going to get more difficult, but I expect the Bears to continue to improve under a new coaching staff, and I expect them to get healthier as well for a defense that is incredibly beat up. Let's talk about Caleb Williams now. How confident are you that Caleb Williams is your franchise quarterback moving forward? 312-644-6767. That's the text line as well. I saw something different from Caleb on Sunday. Colston Loveland went in motion, and I don't think he knew where he was supposed to be. And Caleb Williams was on him verbally. And I'm not really used to seeing that. And then when you saw Caleb Williams at one point on the sideline, he looked really pissed and was vocal about it. And I wasn't used to seeing that. And then here's a report from Tom Rinaldi during the game on Fox. Well, from what I saw from Caleb Williams is someone who's having a better idea of what is happening offensively. And we know that Ben Johnson has a real edge about him. I know that Ben Johnson, what we've seen, the tough love that he's offered, that Ben Johnson, he wants Caleb Williams to understand his offense and operate it through his eyes. And Ben looks like a guy who doesn't suffer fools. And at some point, your quarterback needs to be your Ben Johnson on the field, that he sees it the same way you do. Here's Tom Rinaldi on that.
As we go downstairs to Tom.
Well, a different set of emotions as you can imagine over here on the Chicago sideline. Caleb Williams, when talking to him this week, he had said the biggest difference from a year ago to now is his body language, understanding that people are looking at him at all times and that they have to feed off his vibe and his energy. He has been consistently chirping on the sideline, trying to get guys going after that last scoring drive, still saying urgency, urgency to get these guys going.
So Caleb Williams, to me, he seems to be very polite. I mean, he does. He seems to treat people in a good way. He seems to be affable for the most part with the media, right? He takes your questions, and he, for the most part, gives you straight, direct answers. He's not sarcastic. He doesn't seem to be dismissive. But I've kind of been waiting for him to have more edge on the field with the way that he operates. And a part of me thinks one of the reasons why he hasn't had as much edge is because he doesn't totally know the offense from top to bottom. And I don't blame him. Last year, that he was put in a terrible situation, and this year he's still learning. But as you get towards the end of the season, or at least closer to it, he should have a very, very good idea of that game plan and what Ben Johnson is expecting. And to me, this was a game where I thought the way that Ben Johnson operates, it looked a little bit more like how Caleb Williams was operating. And the reason why I like it is because your quarterback should always have the answers to the test, right? Like if anyone in that huddle is confused about what is happening motion-wise or where they need to be, then just like Ben Johnson would always have the answer, we need Caleb Williams to have the answer as well. And so I felt like Caleb Williams was elevating the expectations of where everyone needed to be. Now, I get it. His completion percentage, not where you want it to be. But if we take out all things into consideration about how he is learning a new offense, with a lot of new players out there, by the way, rookie Colston Loveland, rookie Luther Burden, and then a number of those players out there as well, all of them are going through a new offense. If you take all things into consideration, and most importantly, he's leading a winning football team, I thought that yesterday looked very different, and to be honest, it looked more like a quarterback I would want the Bears to have. Former Bear Greg Olson on the Fox pregame show about how Ben Johnson has a big hand in Caleb Williams in this turnaround.
You saw him play last week. You had him a couple times this year. Is it as simple as pairing him up with Ben Johnson that's turned him around?
Well, it's certainly a big part of it. I mean, how often do we see these last couple of years, these young, talented quarterbacks get drafted at the top of the first round, and they walk into really dysfunctional situations, and then we all sit back and we make just blanket observations and we say, okay, here's who these quarterbacks are, and then all of a sudden you find themselves operating in good situations with Ben Johnson, one of the elite play callers and elite messengers and just leader of the team, and all of a sudden he looks a lot more like the Caleb Williams that they took when they, you know, that they envisioned when they took him at the top of the first round. So we saw him against the Giants. Sorry, Michael, but like, that defensive front of the Giants, they just couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah, that's one of the things that has pressed me the most about Caleb Williams. And I think at times you can overlook it when you just see a guy take the field every Sunday. But one of the reasons why we're watching J.J. McCarthy struggle the way that he has is because of how often he has been injured. Right? It doesn't allow for reps, and it doesn't mean that you're going to always have great reps, but you can learn on film from your mistakes and you can see it in real time. Right? And look at the amount of quarterbacks that have been hurt this year, from Joe Burrow to Lamar Jackson to Brock Purdy to potentially Aaron Rodgers. Like you can go down the row, and Caleb Williams' durability is one of the things that has really kept him learning, kept him moving. And it's one of the most important things about your quarterback. Not just that he knows how to take a hit, but can he also avoid a hit as well? I thought he took a couple that he did not need to take yesterday, but his durability is one of the reasons why he is where he is at, is continuing to learn and continue to grow. And listen, if you're concerned about the deep ball and some of the inaccuracies yesterday, I thought Kyle Long on CBS Sports brought up a really interesting point about why you shouldn't be that concerned, or why he felt good about some of the misses by Caleb Williams. And he also said, can we stop acting like the Bears aren't a good football team?
You know what stands out to me the most in year two of Caleb Williams, year one of Ben Johnson, is the faith that I see from his head coach in his quarterback. And today it was evident to me, even in the missed long-distance throws that Caleb Williams went to time and time again. They were just outside of DJ Moore's reach, just outside of Roma Dunze's reach. I like that, okay? Because a lot of the success we've seen from Caleb Williams has been at the line of scrimmage, middle of the field, and some of the gripes about him last year were his inaccuracy on the deep ball. Well, if I'm Ben Johnson, I'm saying, I like what I see at the line of scrimmage. I like what I see with the intermediate game. My young quarterback has cut his sack numbers more than in half, Adam. More than in half. I don't think you understand how important not taking sacks is in the National Football League. That was a priority. I love that. And today, the deep shots, as I was alluding to, it tells me that he's like trying to figure out what else, what next can we do with Caleb Williams? What other things can we do to be even more explosive? I think about this offense, one of the quietest top five offenses I've ever seen in the National Football League. They get no respect, no love, but here we sit every week and say they found a way to run the ball effectively. Caleb Williams in the second half in 4 minute, 2 minute, finds a way to make things happen. This is a good football team, and I'm tired of pretending like they're not.
I enjoyed that from Kyle Long, and just a reminder, the Bears, this offense, They're fourth in the NFL in points per game. They are fourth in the NFL in total yards per game, and they are second in the NFL in rushing yards per game. And a lot of it has to do with Caleb Williams. You know, if you break down the numbers, believe it or not, avoiding sacks or not taking sacks is perhaps more important than throwing interceptions, meaning sacks can cost you more points per game than interceptions. Now, you take more sacks or just more sacks had than interceptions, right? Like you may throw two picks, you may throw or you may settle for four sacks, but sacks will move you backwards and you can't get field goals. So his elusive nature, you may see it as him just spiraling and spinning and running around. No, but him not going backwards taking sacks allows you to actually get more points per game by kicking field goals. Let's hear from Caleb Williams. I thought he was great in postgame yesterday. Here he is in full taking questions from the media.
What's up, everybody?
Let's get a roll.
You guys have had these all season. I mean, what was the ride like at the end of this one?
Yeah, same as always. Go out there, do your job, be calm as possible for the guys, be poised in those moments. And, you know, I think overall, when you do your job, when we execute the plays that are called, obviously having the big spurt of the kick return by Duve was exciting. But when we get out there on the offensive side, it's just do your job, execute the plays, and have a more dominating mindset than the man in front of you.
This team has yet to learn that killer instinct yet. Do you feel that?
Kevin
Meyer.
Yeah. Do I feel that?
Yeah.
I think part of it, because there you have to have a killer instinct to be in these games and finish these games the way we have. You know, to fight all the way through and come out victorious, you have to have a sense of killer instinct. But for the idea of killer instinct, speaking on when there's blood in the water, you know, we got to go and, you know, when the defense turns the ball over for us and we get the ball back, we got to put up 7 points. When they get three and outs, we got to put up 7 points. And that's a mindset and belief that we have to grow towards and get better at. And that's something that I was preaching on the sideline. And, you know, I'm going to keep preaching that because we have so much talent. We have so much belief. We have so much of a great coaching staff and, you know, all these different things. And there's not a time for me that I want to maximize the most than when I'm out here with these guys. And so having the killer instinct in those moments is really important to me and for us as a team because, like I said, we got the coaching staff, we got the players, we got the talent. We just have to go out there and do it.
What accounts for the ability to come back and win these games? It's not always the offense, it's not always the defense. Today it was special teams help. Like, what accounts for everyone being able to do that?
Yeah, something that I've spoke about before, living in the know. It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter who, it doesn't. We got the guys, we got the coaches, we live in the known. And so when our moment comes, when their moment comes, whoever it is on the team, we'll make the play. And so, like I said, we gotta get better throughout the game. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we know we're gonna make the plays at the right moment, the right time, and we're gonna go win the game.
For a moment, did it feel like shades of week one? Just that you guys have the lead's gone. Like, how did you get it to change the outcome this time around?
Yeah, I think the belief that we've grown within the locker room is what changed. I think that's been the biggest thing throughout this season so far, is the belief. And when you have belief, when you have the trust between each other and the guys and things like that, you know, these moments don't seem too big. These moments, you know, they're a lot smaller. Everybody's a lot more focused. Everybody's a lot more poised when something goes wrong. And I think that's what we've done a good job of since, you know, I would say since the first week, is growing that belief, growing that trust. And like I said, we got to find ways to win earlier. It's something I'm going to preach until we start doing it. But, you know, I think that belief and trust is there.
What's through your head when Duray take, you know, sees that space, you can kind of see it up there?
Yeah, I was standing, I told Duve actually, but right before the game, that he was going to make a play for us this day. And he did just that. And I was actually right there when I saw Duve starting to bend the corner.
you know, back to us. And you could kind of see the stampede of people on the right side. And, you know, you kind of feel and see all the space over here, and just had a feeling that he was going to make a big play right there. And he did. And, you know, we're super happy for him, super proud of him. And, you know, we're proud that you know, he's on this team and he's making plays for us like that in those big moments. But, yeah, you know, things going through my head in that moment is go win the game.
Did you have a thought about that before? I mean, do you usually tell DuVernay stuff like that, or do you have a certain inkling?
I think, you know, if I see him before the game or anything like that, maybe. But, you know, today just felt like the day, and I told him that before the game, and ended up kind of working out that way.
Yeah, but what were some of the things Flores threw at you? Maybe it was different than you've seen before?
Yeah, he brought a lot of this week he brought a lot of corner cat and things like that. We were able to either pick it up or get the ball out, or would see him and, you know, throw hot or throw a check down or anything like that. So I think overall we did a good job with that, and that was one of the wrinkles. And then, you know, he has a bunch more wrinkles that he's thrown in there. He had about, you know, a couple times, you know, throughout the game, you know, dropping back. It's you know, you're trying to figure out the coverage, and a bunch of different guys are flying in different areas. And it's always fun playing versus him, because he's such a good D coordinator. He has such good talent over there, and so a lot of respect to them.
On I believe 24 Ward, when he blitzing you, escaped that. Can you take us through that play? Like, did you recognize that he was coming, or what happened on that play?
The one where he came off my right side and I spun.
Yeah.
Before the snap, I didn't see it. I don't think our back, I believe, didn't see it either. And he just so happened to come free. And, you know, they did a good job with that and disguising it early in the game, and then and disguising it throughout the game. And then, you know, from there, it was just in that moment, go make a play for the team. And ended up seeing him, you know, late when I turned my eyes around to get back up, and I saw him. And, you know, just made a play.
Can we think about maybe a small example of some of the things you guys could do with Colston and Cole? It seemed like your connection with them was especially strong today, some big plays. Just maybe just a glimpse of what that can do with those two guys.
Yeah, I think we got the guys. We got the guys that we need to do whatever we need to do to win the game. They're special. They're talented. They make plays for us when it counts and when it matters. And so the belief, like I said, the trust between those guys, between me, is all there. You know, and we've done a good job so far making plays when it counted. And it's been different guys. It's been all of our guys throughout the season so far. And so our trust, my belief, when it comes down to those moments, or when it comes down to big downs, and it's not just the end of the game, I'm going to give them a shot. And we're going to go make a play. And that trust is there. That belief is there. O-line's going to, you know, do a great job blocking. And like I said, I'm going to give them a shot, and they're going to go make the play for us.
As an extension of that, the 3rd and 13, the sidearm to Burden. I know Ben hinted at this last week. He said he needs more targets. Like, how big of, like, an impact do you feel like? There's a 3rd and 13. It's a drive that ended in a field goal, but you hit Luther. And
did I scramble, or was I in the pocket? I'm having trouble remembering.
In the pocket, yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, big picture-wise, yep. Just him finally
right
earning
your,
a role in
you
this
scrambled
offense.
For first down. It was a legal formation penalty, and then you followed him.
Yeah. We were going that way.
Yes.
Okay, got you.
The impact that he made, I mean, Ben's been kind of trending towards this way, saying he's going to get involved more. Like, specific to that play, you're talking about trust. Now you found you have another guy you could go to. How did that affect things today?
Yeah. Luther is a special talent, and he's a young cat. He's growing, so that relationship between him and I is going to grow constantly, you know, throughout the years. And so I think that's just a little glimpse. I think, you know, last week, in one of the biggest moments of the game, the ball goes to Luther on a 25-yard curl stop route. And so that trust, that belief, I know who we have, what we have. And, you know, when I drop back and these guys are running these routes and the spacing and all of these things are right, and you know, they're out there, like I said, the trust, the belief, the special talent that I know that we have is there. And it's a confidence builder for me to be able to trust them and put the ball in the right spot at the right time. And it's only growing. And we're at the halfway mark of the season, or two games, you know, or one to two games past it. And
we haven't scratched the surface of how talented, how special we are on this side of the ball. And I'm excited to show it. I'm excited to showcase it. I'm excited to get up every single day and, you know, keep grinding with these guys and showcase it at the end of the day. And, you know, I think that's coming up. And, you know, you get little glimpses of it, you know, throughout games and throughout the season so far. But, you know, it's coming.
All right, that's Caleb Williams after Caleb, I hate to interrupt you here. That's Caleb Williams after beating the Vikings for the first time. Caleb Williams and the Bears, led by number 18, now 1-3, or we could just look at it as 1-0 in the last 24 hours when facing off against the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears 3-18 in division play heading into yesterday's game. I felt like this was a statement game for Caleb, for Ben Johnson, and for the Bears, even if it wasn't the prettiest of games, I guess who cares? The Bears are 7-3, and they were in first place all alone. Some of the texts coming in, this is from the 815. I've been asking you about your confidence level in Caleb Williams, how convinced you are he is your franchise quarterback. From the 815, I'm less convinced now than I ever have been that Caleb is the guy. He legit played a Justin Fields game today, exactly the same. He was awful, and he's getting worse.
Justin Fields level, though? I don't know.
Well, the Jets are 2-8. The Bears are 7-3. This one from the 413. I'm confident in Caleb as a franchise quarterback and have been from day one. He is a leader. He is showing it every game. These guys respect him. I absolutely agree on that. I think we watched it play out today. All right, coming up next. What is similar? What is very different about the last time the Bears were 7-3? Taking a look at the 2025 team versus the 2018 Bears. And Patrick Finley of Chicago Sun-Times on the beat of the Bears. He was there in Minnesota. We'll get his reaction to this team and this win. You're listening to 670 The Score.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.